And we are live. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening or watching wherever you may be. And I'm Jordan Jimison. This is the Hunt MMA Show. And I am joined by Mike and Ike Woodard, the Woodards. Ike Woodard, where can they find you?
They can find me on my podcast, Ike Woodard, or on YouTube at Vigilante Reviews.
And then Mike Woodard.
Nowhere.
He's a ghost.
Yeah, Ike Woodard has a podcast where he does reviews after every UFC pay-per-view that we have been on. And one thing that all three of us have been saying is that December 2018 is, in my opinion and a lot of others, the best month in the history of MMA, with four title fights just in the UFC. Then there was two in Bellator, back-to-back nights, December 14th and 15th. We're watching two title fights right now on Ryzen 14, and then the PFL Championships later tonight.
It's been a very packed year in terms of fights and title fights, and just some really good competition all around in the MMA. And so many different organizations. Seems like this is the climax of the year, right in December. So it's been a great month for MMA, and I definitely agree that it has been the best.
And Mike?
It was a really good month for fights because you had the Cyborg Nunes fight. That was really good. And the fight that we're about to watch, that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then, what? Cormier was in November, that's right.
Cormier was in November, yeah.
But yeah, it was really good fights that was going on in December. A lot going on.
And all title fights, none of them disappointed. Other than the Jones-Gustafson one, but I think that was just because it was followed up by such a great Cyborg-Nunes fight.
Yeah.
If it didn't have Cyborg-Nunes, I think I would have been
all
right with it. Jones put on a show. Gus kind of didn't show up, but that was still overall very good month for Holloway. Ortega was probably one of my favorites, and then the Shevchenko Joanna fight.
That was such a great fight. The ability that both of those guys have is insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love how the UFC this month has put on two shows and two title fights for each pay-per-view. And I think the UFC has enough divisions to do that every pay-per-view. You know, let's think, heavyweight, light heavy, middle, welterweight, lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight. They're getting rid of the flyweights, but then women's featherweight, women's bantamweight, women's flyweight, and women's strawweight. So 11 divisions, I think it could very well be done. Very well. Yeah. Maybe one every other kind of one title fight. If it's big, like Khabib McGregor. I think that was great, even with one title fight. Imagine with two title fights.
That would have been an insane
over the roof. Yeah. And that already had huge fights. Ferguson-Pettis. That was a great fight.
Yes.
A possible fight of the year, honestly, in my opinion. I think Zombie Rodriguez is going to get it, but Ferguson Pettis, if they get it, I wouldn't be upset at all.
That was a fantastic fight.
Absolutely. And then Lewis Volkov, it kind of sucked until that last 10 seconds. that was one to remember forever, you know.
Definitely.
That, you know, we had a bunch of people over and everyone like jumped up and that was an exciting moment. And then only half of us, when Khabib submitted McGregor, half of us, everyone else is, you know, sad. Yeah, and then these two title fights I'm very excited for. I'm not sure on Ryzen, Craig, The co-main event, I don't know the names, but the main event has Kyoji Horiguchi, who's the Ryzen bantamweight champion, and former UFC flyweight title contender, fought Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, and Mighty Mouse ended up submitting him in the fifth round, has the latest submission in UFC history, 4 minutes, 59 seconds, Kyoji Horiguchi tapped.
This isn't a rematch, though.
No, not between Horiguchi and Darian Caldwell, who's the Bellator bantamweight champion. Okay. And, you know, first crossover of two champions in different organizations. So
very interesting.
What history could be made.
Yeah. Yep. So it looks like both these fighters are Japanese.
Mm-hmm. The event here is in Japan, I believe, which is interesting because later today is Mayweather versus Nasukawa, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. And that fight is not available in Mexico, America, Canada, and Japan, which is where this is, you know. Wow. So if you're in Japan and want to watch this, you have to buy tickets. But honestly, I'm more excited for the Caldwell Horiguchi match.
Yep. And Ryzen only does 3 rounds, correct?
Ryzen only does 3 rounds, which is what I wanted to get into about how Chael Sonnen, an ESPN MMA analyst and Bellator fighter, had talked about how the Super Bowl only has 4 quarters, doesn't have 5 just because it's the championship. It only has 4.
Yeah.
So he's like, why does MMA have 5 rounds for title fights and main events and all other fights are just 3?
Mm-hmm.
So
it makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. And we'll see it here with Ryzen. Did she get poked in the eye?
It looks like it was an eye poke, yeah.
How unfortunate that would be if they have to stop this.
No contest. First, yeah.
No contest, yeah. I've never seen a no contest for a title fight. No contests are very rare. And for a title fight, I've never seen it.
Of.
UFC Bellator 1, I've never seen a no contest for a title fight.
Wow.
I've only seen one, and it was like a UFC preliminary fight.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
In UFC and Bellator, Ryzen might have different rules, but in UFC and Bellator, if you get poked in the eye or hit in the groin, you have 5 minutes to recover.
Wow, nice.
That's really
and then
nice.
After that, and if you can't continue after that, then no contest. No contest. That guy back there has a Mayweather hat, the TBE, the best ever, is Mayweather's hat. Yeah.
Here's the hit.
That was a terrible angle. I couldn't see anything there.
Yeah, it looked like the left hand like barely swiped across her right eye. Hamasaki? Yeah. And Asakura.
In the last UFC event, UFC 232, in the prelims, there was a fight between Megan Anderson and Kat Zingano, and Megan Anderson goes for a high kick, and the toenail gets in Kat Zingano's eye, and it was very weird because she pranced away and like head against the cage, back turned, and Megan Anderson looks to the referee like, are you going to stop this? And the referee's like, no, she's good. And so then Megan Anderson hit her in the ribs and hit her in the face one time, and then the referee was like, oh yeah, sorry. Sorry, I just stepped in. But yeah, then Kat posted 2 pictures and her eye's completely red, and then right over it has like a scratch on it as well.
Ooh.
So there's a coach in Albuquerque, an MMA coach. His name is Mike Winklejohn, and he's actually blind in one eye because he was holding pads for someone and someone missed. Toenail scratched his eye and can't see out of one eye now.
You gotta keep. You should have to keep your nails clipped. Very short.
Very
short.
Mm-hmm. Well, she seems angry after that eye poke. Yeah, but now Winklejohn has to, he always wears glasses when he holds pads now.
I don't blame him.
When I first heard that a couple years ago, I almost like quit karate because I was like, I don't want that could happen to me, you know?
Yeah.
That's something that can happen to anyone, and that's you know, a very scary thing. Even though it's extremely rare, you know.
Right. It can still happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now is Hamasaki in the pink or is that Asakura?
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the names.
I think Asakura is in the pink and then Hamasaki's in the black and gold.
Okay. Trading blows here.
I honestly love that this organization allows sponsors unlike the UFC, where it's just a, like a Reebok, you know, sports uniform kind of. I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of that. And the fighters lose out on a lot of pay because of it.
Right.
Oh, head kick.
Yeah. That was a good hit.
Ryzen is the home of the former organization Pride. Pride FC. FC stands for Fighting Championships. Oh, mm-hmm. And UFC ended up buying them, but before they did, Pride would have rules. It was literally a street fight, you know, with a referee making sure they don't die. But you know how when you have like a hand on the ground, you can't get kicked in the head?
Yeah.
Forget that. You know, where, you know, soccer, it's called a soccer kick, and that's allowed. It's allowed in this organization. Oh, so, yeah, this is pretty much a obviously like no eye pokes as we just saw earlier a bit. Right.
That would be interesting to see how much like more hardcore fighting it is in like this or the UFC.
When Pride was around, they would do a lot of crossovers between UFC and Pride. Like, they would just switch fighters. Okay. Like, Chuck Liddell was a UFC great, and he would go between both sometimes. Oh. 1 minute left.
Oh. Amasaki switching up stances quite a bit.
That's when fighters do that, it's very hard to predict, you know, movement. Movement's very different when switching between southpaw and orthodox. Something Yancy Medeiros does a lot in the UFC. Who is fighting on the first UFC on ESPN card.
Wow.
He's the co main event. The fight before the co main event.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right.
And you know that's huge, cuz that's first ESPN card and you know, just being behind a super fight, Henry Cejudo versus TJ Dillashaw, and then and then Greg Hardy, former NFL player, got arrested for domestic violence and was given a second chance with the UFC now. Wow. So he's the co-main event, and then before that, Yancy Medeiros is fighting.
Very cool.
I think the UFC on ESPN is going to be very different. Dana White says in that event, January 19th, that they're going to have a new belt.
Really?
A new championship belt.
Wow.
He said that they were supposed to have it the 29th, UFC 232, but then he felt like it wasn't appropriate to do it then, and I agree with that, you know.
Yeah,
with the move and like all of the loss of like fans and stuff, you know. Like, I felt like that was a smart move. And also, you know, this is the first ESPN event and a super fight as well. So I think that's
a good call. Very fitting for new belt.
It is. Yeah, I agree.
Start of the second round.
Oh, knee.
Who would you say won the first round?
Oh man, I don't know, man. You know, they both had good moments. And... Oh, I can't read their names. The one in black and gold definitely came out strong after that eye poke and had good moments. They both had good moments.
Now, do you lose points for eye pokes?
You can. Usually the referees will give a warning before, don't do it again. And then if it happens again and again and again, the referee will take a point. Mm-hmm. Which honestly, I don't agree with. You know, you're told the rules in the back, in the locker room. Don't poke eyes. Don't groin strike. Don't hold on to the fence. Obviously, this is like a boxing rope, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, why do you have to give another warning?
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
I think it would stop fighters from doing it a lot. They would want to be more careful with it.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yep. I haven't seen too much ground game from these two so far.
Yeah, not too much. It'd be interesting, you know, in the UFC, often when you're taken down and you get against the fence, you can use the wall to help you climb up.
Mm-hmm.
But with the ropes, I'm sure it'd be much harder to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what organization it was in. But there was a time that, you know, the ropes looked exactly like this, like a boxing ring, and it was an MMA fight. And this guy was getting grounded and pounded and stepped outside the ring.
Ooh.
And in this ring, it might have been Pride, I can't remember, but he's given a red card, which meant 1 point taken off. But Ooh. Then my understanding is the referee stood them back up, even though he was in a, you know, getting dominated in the position.
Yeah.
He stood up and then he ended up winning the fight.
Whoa.
Because
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
As Akira goes for the takedown.
There's some ground game. Me personally, I think I like rings and the cage fights more than a boxing ring. I've always been worried of MMA trying to copy boxing, like follow what boxing is doing, which big stars, McGregor, could be the bigger future stars are going to MMA and not boxing.
Right.
So. Got her back. Oh, got the arm. She's got to extend. She has her hands gripped together. She's going to have to get that right, her right foot. Oh, there it is. There it is. She's trying to break. Oh, she's got it. She's.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh, she's tapping. It's over.
It's over.
Hamasaki, is it?
Hamasaki, the champ. Yep, Hamasaki, the champ.
Two title fights here.
Yep, once he went to the mat, Hamasaki dominated.
What you were saying earlier, like, why is it not going to the ground?
Yeah.
Like, this is interesting, you know. When they get it to the ground, she finishes it.
Mm-hmm.
That armbar, that was nice. I was just about to say before she actually did it that she needs to get her foot she had her hands gripped together. She needed to get her foot on the other hand, and then just extend both the leg and her body, and she was going to get it, and that's exactly what she did and got it. I hate when they show the loser, though. Like, what's the point of that? Yeah. Like, that just makes me sad. Like, I want to be happy for the new... or I don't know if that's the new champ, or...
I don't know.
But I don't need to see her crying.
Yeah.
But that belt looks so cool.
It does. Yep. Yep, there it is. Yeah, and that was after Hamasaki got it in the eye, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Here's the takedown again. Or I guess the submission again.
Oh, looks hyperextended.
Ah, she flipped.
Oh, see that? That was... Oh, man. Armbars freaked me out. When I went to my first UFC event, it was UFC Austin, and someone was going after an armbar, and I just got so nervous. I was like, I don't want to see someone break their arm.
Oh, that hurt so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it on TV where people, you know, break their arm because of a kimura and didn't tap till it breaks. Then, okay, all right, it's over. And I didn't notice it, but at the UFC Denver event, Cowboy Cerrone got a submission over Mike Perry, and I didn't know it till after the event. But Mike Perry had broken his arm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he won it, right?
No, Cowboy did. Okay, Cowboy did. Okay. Yeah. Mike Perry tapped after he broke it.
Got it.
There's no English translator. I guess we know now how, like, other people that don't speak English think of when they're watching UFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, I don't know what they're saying. But after this, Caldwell versus Horiguchi. So,
nice. That's the main fight, right?
That's the main event. Mm-hmm. Well, other than Mayweather Nasukawa, but you know, we don't get that.
Yeah.
And that's only three 3-minute rounds and an exhibition match. So so it's not going to count against Mayweather's record if he loses. But I was telling a coworker of mine, I was like, watch, if Mayweather wins, which he probably will, if Mayweather wins, he's going to find some way to get it to be 51-0, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And he's making $9 million for that fight.
Wow.
He was like, imagine making $9 million for 9 minutes of sparring, is what he called it. Nine minutes of sparring, and I'm making $9 million. Like, that's
$1 million for every minute you stay in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how great he is. Like, hate him or love him, like, I honestly don't, I'm not a fan, but, but like, I gotta respect his greatness, you know?
Yeah.
They're talking about how this is extremely rare for one promoter to send it to another promoter. And Scott Coker, who's the Dana, he's pretty much the Dana White of Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying something that if Horiguchi wins, he also gets the Bellator belt. But that wouldn't make sense because this is Ryzen and Ryzen rules.
Right.
Like for example, when Cyborg and Nunes fought, I mean that was the same organization, same rules, same everything.
Yeah.
But if Cyborg won, she wasn't going to get Nunes's belt because it was at 145.
Okay.
So I'm thinking. And then since Nunes beat Cyborg, since it was at 145, she also got her belt. But I wouldn't understand why Horiguchi would get Caldwell's belt, unless I misunderstood him, which I hope I did, because
that would make sense.
Right. But he had also said he recently had an event in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said that he wants to do an annual event with Ryzen and maybe have it in Hawaii sometime, which I thought would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Like if Horiguchi wants to go after Caldwell's Bellator belt, mm-hmm.
Then you can.
Then we can have it in Hawaii. That'd be very fun.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
And Bellator has had a huge rise, and I think that's because mm-hmm. Tournaments have helped for sure, I think. You know, the heavyweight Grand Prix that they were starting is what got me into it at the beginning of the year. Now they're doing a welterweight Grand Prix, even though they have a welterweight champion already. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, like why have a Grand Prix with a champion already in it? But every fight, the welterweight champion is Rory McDonald, and every fight he's in, it'll be a championship fight. Wow. And then...
Yeah. Has that ever happened before?
Not that I can remember, no. Wow. The most similar thing I can think of was way, way back, and like Bellator's kind of like beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lightweight tournament. The champion was Eddie Alvarez. And there was a lightweight Grand Prix that didn't have Eddie in it. The winner of the Grand Prix was going to fight Eddie, and the winner of the Grand Prix was Michael Chandler, and ended up fighting Eddie and beating Eddie, so he became the new champ. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And he wasn't a favorite of many other fighters, because in the beginning, you know, all the other fighters were just saying, "I'm just focusing on my opponent right now, not Eddie." You know, being humble. Yeah. And Michael was like, "No, I'm fine to get up to Eddie," you know, like he was straight up, he was honest, you know, and that's what I like, because, you know, you may say like, "Oh, I'm just focused on my opponent." And obviously I think what they're focusing on most at the time is their opponent, but they know that they're fighting to get up to Eddie. Right, they know.
Goal is to get to Eddie. Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to be humble, you know, the nice guy.
Right, like, no.
Michael was straight up like, "Shut up, you know, we're fighting to get to Eddie, you know."
Yeah.
and then he was the one that got up to Eddie and beat Eddie.
Man, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm. And then they had a rematch, because that fight was amazing, you know, back and forth knockdowns, you know, it was crazy. They had a rematch, and then Eddie won by split decision. And so then they're 1-1, but then Eddie signed with the UFC.
Uh-huh.
And he recently just became a free agent. So, you know, everyone was saying, "Oh, go to Bellator so that we get the third fight, you know, the trilogy." Yeah. People hate when it's 1-1, you know.
Mm-hmm,
we want McGregor Diaz 3 because it's 1-1, you know.
Right.
But he ended up signing with one championship. Going to Asia. And I thought that was interesting. Like, what's going on over there? Because Dana White had said, this is probably Eddie's last contract. And I'm sure Eddie, even if he's thinking like, "No, I want to be in this till I'm like 45 or whatever. You know, I'm sure he's thinking like, it's possible that this is my last contract." Yeah. And he's saying, "I'm willing to end it at one."
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. You know, that at first I had never heard of one at the beginning of the year. So I was...
Yeah.
A little surprise. And then Demetrius Johnson gets like traded to a 2-1. You know, it was UFC cuts Demetrius Johnson and one cuts Ben Askren so that the other two can sign with the other. So then I'm like, okay, this is interesting. But I kind of understood that more because Demetrius Johnson has like a manager that works with one. So I could... kind of understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sage Northcutt, who was 6-2 in the UFC, signed with one.
Really?
So, mm-hmm. And Miesha Tate, the former UFC women's bantamweight champion, is now the vice president of one. So I'm like, you know, what's going on over here? And then just recently, this month, there's Darian Caldwell there. He was a grappler. He did grappling at NC State.
Really?
So yeah, he's going to try to get this to the ground.
Have you seen the other fighter? Who's his opponent?
Horiguchi?
Yeah. Have you seen him fight much?
I've only seen him fight twice. One was a boring decision win, and then one was against Demetrius Johnson.
Okay.
But ever since that fight, I've never seen him fight. But what I was saying was, one now just signed a TV deal to be in America now with Turner Sports, so it'll be on TNT, TBS.
Okay.
So be able to watch a lot more of that.
That would be cool.
That would be. Mm-hmm. Ryzen definitely focuses most on their promotions. Like they don't shy away from that, so. And they're doing a good job with it, you know, this is entertaining. Mm-hmm.
So if he loses, will it count on his UFC record?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, his MMA record overall, yeah. He's with Bellator right now, though. He's never been with the UFC.
Oh, okay.
I was watching one interview with Caldwell, and he talked about how at the end of the year, at the end of 2019, he wants four belts. He's the Bellator bantamweight champion, which is 135 right now. He wants this Ryzen belt, of course, which would be two, and then he wants to get the Bellator featherweight world championship, which is 145, and then maybe even get the Ryzen featherweight. So. Four title. I mean, that would put him in the GOAT conversation, I believe.
Yeah.
Even though he's never been in the UFC, I think that'd put him in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans like to talk about, like, you know, super fights between UFC and Bellator. And at first I thought, like, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. You know, like, it's hard. Yeah. It's so hard to compare even UFC versus UFC, you know. So
right.
UFC, Bellator, where there's a bunch of different competition, it's different, and I like that there's different organizations, you know, kind of like a free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they're doing this, you know, with Bellator and Ryzen, you know, now I'm kind of interested, like, you know, what if they did a Bellator UFC, like, pay-per-view event, yeah. You know? They could probably do an entire card with champion versus champion, champion versus probably. Champion. That would be insane.
Man,
pay-per-view would be through the roof.
Just completely stocked with title fights.
Mm-hmm. And like I just said, it's so hard to compare, like, who would win, the Bellator middleweight champion or the UFC middleweight champion. Mm-hmm. But I do believe the Bellator middleweight champion, Gegard Mousasi, who is a former UFC middleweight, would be able to beat the current UFC middleweight champion, Robert Whittaker.
Okay.
And you know, this Darian Caldwell guy, I think he could do very well against TJ Dillashaw, the bantamweight champion. So it would be very cool to see. I don't think we're anywhere close to them actually doing it, but if they did, you know, I'd pay extra. I'd pay extra to watch that. That would be MMA history. This is MMA history just here.
Yep. The crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Cool walkout for
Horiguchi.
Horiguchi.
Mm-hmm. He's the home guy. Of course, they're gonna. Seems like they're kind of giving him home field advantage.
Yeah, just a bit.
And I wouldn't be against Horiguchi going to Bellator and getting the Bellator bantamweight champion if he went over to Bellator. But if he wins this fight, I don't think he deserves at all to be the Bellator bantamweight champion.
No.
Especially if it goes to decision, because a 3-round fight can be much different than a 5-round fight.
Definitely.
Yep.
Example, Michael Bisping was down 2-0 against Dan Henderson at UFC 1... or UFC 204, I believe. It was a championship fight. He was down 2-0, won the next 3 rounds, and won the fight.
Wow.
So, but, you know, if he won the 3rd round, and if it was just a 3-round fight, he would have lost.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I think here, especially if it does go to decision, like I said, it shouldn't just be given to Horiguchi.
Right, or should the champion fight be brought down to 3 rounds, or should the regular fights be brought up to 5 rounds?
You know, that's a legit question. That's a legit question. I wouldn't be against every fight being 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Other than the really boring ones, like, can this end?
Yeah. just end it now.
Yeah. I don't know. Personally, in my opinion, I like that there's, you know, championship fight is a championship fight is 5 rounds. I don't really like a main event that's not a title fight being 5 rounds, which Bellator does that. Championship fights are 5 rounds, but regular main events are just 3. I like that, but I feel like when you're getting the championship, then, you know, you kind of deserve the extra longer fight. Mm-hmm. Longer fight.
What does UFC do for main?
UFC has 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. 5 rounds for main events. Not title fights or non-title fights. They do 5 rounds. He gets so hyped. That's amazing.
He pronounced it really interesting, too.
He did, yeah.
He's a good announcer.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Even though I can only understand when he's saying their name. But, like,
right.
But still, yeah, he's great.
Gets hyped.
He does.
Wow, look at the height difference.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think Horiguchi is around 5'5", I believe.
Right, because, what's the other dude's name?
Caldwell.
He's like 5'10", I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Somewhere around there. When Demetrius Johnson and Kyoji Horiguchi fought, something Johnson did that really dominated Horiguchi throughout all the 5 rounds was his grappling, and like I said earlier, Caldwell was a grappler in college. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so they were talking about how good his wrestling is, and he believes he's the best wrestler there is.
He has an argument. He has an argument. You know, he dominates his
going outside the ring.
Not something you see in cage fighting. No.
No. Huh. They have to stop it to get him back inside the ring. Oh, I feel
he has him in dominant position.
Yeah. I feel like that was a bit unfair to Horiguchi, though, because he didn't. I mean, he was the one getting pushed outside.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah.
But if it was like a cage, though, they started it as if he hadn't fallen out.
Right. And now Horiguchi has it. Oh, no, Caldwell, I guess, still has the back. Yeah, yeah.
Now Horiguchi's got the back.
But Caldwell still has Horiguchi's arm. Again, outside the ring. He's still... They're not restarting it, though. That's... Oh, there it is. All right.
Yeah, I would just take it to the center and...
This is interesting. What's going on here?
Yeah, man. This definitely should just the advantage of having a cage.
Yep. Now, boxing, I think it's fine having a ring this because there's no grappling. You know,
it's
unlikely that you go.
that you get outside the ring.
If you do go outside the ring, you've probably already lost.
Escapes it.
Now, does Bellator, they have cages, or is it like the boxing ring?
Bellator has a cage, but it's circular, unlike UFC's octagon. Okay. It's like a circular ring, but a cage.
Cage nonetheless.
None of this problem of falling out of the ropes.
Yeah.
In a fight earlier, I think it was before the co-main event, there was only 2 rounds, but the first round was 10 minutes, and the second round was 5, which is interesting. I don't know if that was just like a personal agreement or if Ryzen has like a certain rule that,
How does that work with split decision? I mean,
yeah, I think that would lead to more of a draw, yeah. I don't know if scoring is any different here, but I also want to talk about scoring. If this fight does go to decision, I feel like Horiguchi would probably get it, unless Caldwell dominates.
Yeah.
But something that I think is very subconscious that the referees do is that the fans really influence the scorecards. You know, a jab by Caldwell might be seem not as hype as a Horiguchi jab. You know, because of there's a knockdown. From a kick, more make it a slip, because Caldwell doesn't look rocked at all, smiling right now.
Both seem to be feeling very confident.
Mm-hmm. You have to be confident.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, MMA is... and he falls out.
Horiguchi rolls outside the ring after
getting tripped up,
after avoiding an attempted takedown from Caldwell. And there's the bell.
I think I personally would give it to Caldwell.
I would too. He seemed to dominate a lot more on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Horiguchi didn't get rocked too badly, but he definitely was in
some trouble.
Yeah. Caldwell had more control, definitely, in that round.
But again, we'll see if the fans influenced it at all.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't go to decision.
Yeah. Decisions are usually a bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like the groin.
Yeah, pretty close. Now, that was definitely a knockdown by Horiguchi.
Yeah. Horiguchi does have great movement. That's something that leading up to the Demetrius Johnson Horiguchi matchup, they were talking a lot about like how Demetrius Johnson isn't going to be able to, like, is he going to be able to grab him and take him down with Horiguchi's movement of, you know, getting in and immediately getting out.
Yeah.
But Demetrius Johnson, even though I don't think he's the GOAT, I think he's the greatest flyweight of all time, for sure. Now it's kind of sad that he's gone from the UFC.
Yeah.
Oh.
Taken down by Caldwell. Caldwell got his left hand around his... it's a fight. Horiguchi's back on his feet.
In the clinch against the ropes.
Oh, man. Horiguchi pounding the top of Caldwell's head.
Caldwell doesn't seem bothered, though. He's just no. Hit me. Hit me. Takes him down again. As he takes him down again. And Horiguchi isn't able to stop this. When he's getting his back. Since Horiguchi's getting up. I wonder if the referee does any, like, stall in action, because we haven't really seen much.
No, like, right, it seems...
For a straight minute, you know, they weren't... It was just kind of a clinch against the ropes.
Yeah.
Know? In the UFC, we definitely would have seen them get broken up, you know, get back to the middle. But definitely would like to do more research in Horizon. It seems like it would be fun to get into, even though I'm not... huge fan of the ropes. Like, right. I prefer cage fighting, but I think they're promoting is, I think they do a great job at promoting. And, you know, I do like things that are unique. And so true. And this is very unique. This round has been very slow. He's still got like a minute and a half, and you know, nothing's happening really.
Caldwell is just basically hanging on to Horiguchi, and not much is happening from there.
Right. He doesn't really even Horiguchi doesn't really seem to care much about defending. Feels like he's comfortable down on the bottom, but he's
right.
Not gonna score any points. This round definitely has to go to Caldwell. You know, yeah, I mean, there's not any fan influence going on here. I mean, this has to...
No. Horiguchi's just letting him hang on. I mean...
He's hitting him on the head, but he's not really loading up anything.
No.
On
him.
He looks more worn out than anything with throwing those kind of punches.
Right. And for Caldwell, it just seems like he thinks it's like that annoying, like, fly that flies around you, you know, it's like, yeah, like knock that off, like, you know, get out of here.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be hurting him at all. Now they're up, but that was the last 2 seconds. So.
Yeah. That'd have been nice if he, you know, made contact with Caldwell, but it was a miss.
Yeah. Yeah, Horiguchi might need a finish in the third round.
He does, yes. I would agree.
I think Caldwell's already won it if it goes to split decision. If no knockouts occur in the third.
I agree. That was cool. Is this a referee cam? This must be a referee. That's cool. No, I've always thought, I don't know if they have this, but a VR for like a UFC or Bellator event.
That would be amazing.
Like, hey man, let's save like $300. Just put on the VRs and
there you go.
We're pretty much there.
Yeah.
You know, outside of MMA, there's this NBA League Pass where it's exactly that. You know, it's like $209 a year though, but yeah, you get a VR and then you're with your friends and you can. Like, they have avatars. You can see your friend sitting right next to you as you're watching the live game. It looks like
wow.
You're...
Wow.
Yeah, very
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I see VRs that are, like, $40 and $200. I'm like, yo, what's the difference here?
Yeah,
like, they just better give me, like, free subscriptions for life if it's $200.
Solid body strike from Horiguchi.
Horiguchi's starting the third off well. Oh!
Oh!
Oh, I think Caldwell was just going for the takedown, but it landed right as a hook landed. So it looked kind of like a knockdown, and I think that might be how it scored. But now Caldwell's got him in this position, and I think he's got him for the last 4 minutes like this. Oh, he's got it. Oh, my gosh. Would that be crazy?
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. He tapped. Unbelievable.
Caldwell tapped.
That's crazy.
That?
He was. Oh, my gosh.
Horiguchi just totally turned the table.
Unbelievable.
Holy cow.
I was just about to say, like, wow, we're about to see history, and then he gets him in the guillotine. I'm like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah. Dang.
Wow.
Horiguchi, well done.
Dang. There goes his four belts.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Horiguchi seems like a real man of honor, though.
Mm-hmm. But what a way to stay calm and, like, you know, let the fight come to him.
Yes, definitely. You know? He never panicked when Caldwell had him on the ground. He stayed calm, collective, and...
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want to see that again, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What happened?
Did he get the armbar?
Looked like a guillotine. He couldn't breathe, yeah. Man, but that takes a lot. You know, a lot of people would freak out and be like, wow, I'm losing these. I lost these two rounds,
okay,
and now he's got
Caldwell
me.
Caldwell gets him on the legs,
mm-hmm.
pushes up to his chest, and...
See there, he's got like, kind of like a neck lock, but then he goes back
under
tightens that guillotine, and wow.
Man.
Didn't really even seem like he tried to get out of that.
No.
He was just kind of...
No.
Okay. That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Caldwell got tired from holding Horiguchi down for pretty much 10 minutes, you know? I mean, that was domination by Caldwell for the first 10.
Man, to see that finish, though.
What a great way to finish that event.
Man.
Totally unexpected. I was not expecting that at all.
Same here.
You know, even though Caldwell, you know, didn't win, I mean, this is still history.
It is.
Bellator versus Ryzen. And I hope that, you know, because it looks like Horiguchi isn't getting the Bellator belt, which is the right choice, you know.
Yes.
Like, can't give it to him in a Ryzen fight.
No.
But I would love if they continue to do this Bellator and Ryzen, yeah, and Horiguchi goes over to Bellator, and then we see a rematch.
Right, that would be cool.
And that would be interesting, because there were a few times we had to reset because they're getting out of the ropes.
Of the ring.
So are we going to... I mean, that might take some energy out.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to see. But we are reaching the limit, so thank you all again for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time. Signing out.